was a kid, I played in a kids' league baseball. I used to throw one of these things. I suspect if I had to hit that wall back there today, I'd probably miss. But in the day I threw this thing, we would start practicing in the spring. And as the summer wore on, we began to dream about the finals. And we'd get into the playoffs, and then it'd be the final series. Pretty exciting stuff when you're 12. It seemed really to be the most important thing in my life at the time. Now, I'll have to dream with you because I never made it to the finals. But imagine getting there on that day. Imagine getting there to the final game. We doing all right? Imagine the final game, and everybody's excited, and your team's winning. Oh, can you feel the rush? Can you feel the excitement build as each out of the other team goes by and you think, we've almost got it. We're almost there. We're going to win. Can you imagine? And can you imagine one of the players on our team going, yeah, it's a baseball game. So what? I've never seen a 12-year-old do that. Not when it's their game. Not when they're going to be the champion. You get out there and, you know, you win and there's this mob of little squirming bodies out there on the pitcher's mound. Ah, we won! It's exciting. It's awesome. It's what everybody does. But just before that, you know, your team's up to bat. You're getting ready to bat. And you hear all these guys out in the field, hey, batter, 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 hey, swing batter. And the ball hadn't even left the pitcher's hand yet. Just trying to get you off the track. Look over at first base while this guy's getting ready to pitch at you. Anything they can do. Anything they can do to distract you. And sometimes they'll even throw real close and it's like, ah, you got to dive out of the way for your life, you know? And sometimes you don't make it, you know? And poof, hits you right there and it's like, ah, can't breathe. And it's like, ah, and the coach comes running out to you. You're going to be all right? Yeah, I think so. Why? Because you don't want him to go pinch hitter. It's like, no chance, man. I'm staying right here. I'll get over it. Right? I'm in this game to win. Don't take me out, coach. Right? Sometimes you get out there and it's like the guy hits the ball and you're on first base and you're so anxious to run, you start running and you realize the guy who has the ball is the guy on second base. So you turn around to run back, but you can't. You run this way. You think, what am I going to do? And bonk, you run right into your own teammate. Well, hey, I'm only 12, right? I'm allowed a couple mistakes at 12, right? And stuff happens on the way to victory. And then comes that final out. And everybody goes nuts. And you know the coolest things, it's going to be yours. You get the little trophies, you know, and you take them home and you clear out space between your G.I. Joes and your Hot Wheels cars and poof, there's the trophy. Yeah. We won. Champions. It's great. What an awesome feeling. And the coach already promised to take you to Dairy Queen afterwards too. That's cool. We're We're in the game of life. The game for souls. The devil's playing for keeps. He'll do whatever it takes to distract us. To hit us, if he has to. To get us confused and run into one another. He'll do whatever it takes to keep our minds off of Jesus. Distractions. Things happening in the world, in our church, in our personal lives. Has your last week been as wacky as you could ever possibly imagine? Distractions. Hey, batter, 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 swing! Happens, doesn't it? All kinds of things happen. The devil's playing for keeps this game of life. I'm reading from an encyclical letter that was written just a few days ago in Rome. It says, there is urgent need of a true world political authority. Can you imagine? All kinds of things going on in our world right now. Right now. Things setting up for the end. Things that sometimes we're scared of. Sometimes we're afraid of what the end times might bring. Do you ever notice that? And we figure if we just sit quietly and don't do anything, maybe it'll pass by and we won't have to worry about seven last plagues and Jacob's time of trouble and stuff like that, you know? We won't have to worry about that if we don't do anything. And you know, the sad part is, we're probably right. But our kids will. Or our grandkids will, because God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. And so we can get distracted, looking at other things, pulled off course, not running the base paths, or afraid of that 55 or 60 mile an hour pitch. When you're 12, that seemed really fast. And you know, they're a little bit closer than they are in the big leagues, so it seemed about even anyway. This ball coming at you, you're ready to dive away from the plate when it's a ball outside. We get distracted, we get worried, we get nervous. And sometimes we even get afraid. Distractions that the devil's throwing at us kind of sets up for Revelation 13. Turn with me. What we're seeing going on in the world today, all of the economic turmoil and the calls going out for authority to take care of this difficult situation, Revelation 13. Revelation 13, read with me verses 16 and 17. Revelation 13, verses 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Distractions. Things to get us wondering. well, what is this? What's this all about? Who's 666 and all of this stuff? Folks, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's good to understand these things. It's good to understand the prophecies and to not be deceived. Very important. And in fact, we're going to spend the next few weeks in Bible prophecy talking about it. But in all of that, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. And the devil's game is distraction. Perhaps you know what's happened to Bill Waters. His wife had a stroke. Can you imagine that just before he gets ready to do Bible Prophecy Made Simple? How simple would that be to deal with? And yet just days after, he called me and he said, "We're going forward by faith. We know God will raise her up." Wow. I'm inspired by that kind of faith. That's beautiful. That's where I want to go. That's the faith I want to have. Let's move forward with this, huh? It's awesome. And then he comes, you know, with a little trailer, hauling it behind his big pickup truck. The transmission just went out. Other troubles, death in the family, all hammering away at him. Distractions. It's not that they don't hurt. It's not that they're not something you can just, "Oh, well, that's no big deal." Yeah, it is a big deal. But they're distractions to pull away from the focus on Jesus Christ. Same here. In our churches, all kinds of things going on, trying to distract us, trying to pull us away from Jesus, trying to keep us from telling Lakeland the message of a loving, soon coming Savior. And then in your personal life, we were talking about it this morning. Jobs that should take 5 minutes take 30. And while they take 30, they're frustrating. They cost more. They make you run further. And by the time you get it all done, you're burned out. You think the devil doesn't orchestrate some of this stuff? Trying to distract us, trying to get us tuckered out, trying to tell us, "This is not worth it. This is all a waste of time. Man, we're so tired. Why are we going through this?" Oh. Distractions. A ball high and tight to the inside. You can hear it whistle as it goes by. A little scary. A little scary. And the worst part is going through to the last inning, finishing the game, winning, being the champion, doesn't make the bruise on your rib hurt any less. It still hurts. But we go through focused on doing our job. James chapter 1, verse 12. Turn with me. James chapter 1 and verse 12. James has an encouraging word for us. James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." God, I don't want temptation. I don't need temptation. I don't want to run into my own teammate. I don't want to mess things up. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. The crown of life, which the Lord has promised. Not me, not James, the Lord has promised. Talk about a trophy that pushes aside your Hot Wheels. Woo! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The crown of life. Better than any Tonka toy, man. That's better than a radio-controlled car. A crown of life, which the Lord has promised. To whom? To those who love him. Brothers and sisters, it's about Jesus. It's about keeping our eyes on him, fixing our eyes on him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The one who wins the game. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. What a promise that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's about serving with joy, serving with gladness. We have a group of people in this church who have served for a year as officers of this church. I wonder if our elders, deacons, deaconesses for the past year would stand just now. Elders, deacons, deaconesses, men's ministry, women's ministry, all of the different ministries. Would you stand just now if you were elected last year? Stand just now. Look at these people. A year. You were elected. Stand up. Look at each one. Gave service to the Lord last year. And I want to thank you on behalf of the whole church for what you have done. Thank you. You can be seated. Now I'd like to think about this year and the folks that are serving this year. And I'd like for you, I know it's going to be tight. Are you ready? I want you to crowd in right up here. I want you to crowd in right up here. Our elders, would you come up, please? All those who are elders this year, come stand up here. Right up there, please. Make room for others. All of our elders this year, come on up. And our deacons, would you come up? Deacons for this year. Because you too have pledged a year of service. A year of service to serve gladly the Lord this year. And our deaconesses, would you come up? Deaconesses, come up. You know, it won't bother me a bit if our whole church is empty and everybody's standing up there. Our deaconesses, our deacons, our elders, other ministries that were elected this year. Let's see, I've got the list right here. Sabbath schools and our pathfinders and adventurers, our communications, our religious liberty, our music coordinator, greeter, and our vesper leader, our bulletin secretary and calendar coordinator, our young adult ministries, technology, our social committee, decorating committee, safety committee, and lay advisory committee. All of these people, our Where was it? I know it's here. Where is it? Because we have health ministries, we have music, we have, where is it? Our interest coordinator there, our personal ministries leader, prison ministries, community service, men's and women's ministry, youth ministries, all of these people. Look at the folks who have agreed to serve the Lord gladly for a year. Is that awesome or what? What a blessing. What a blessing you are to our church. And I want to take just a moment now in dedication, dedicating you to the service of our God. Because each one of you will play a role in someone coming a little bit closer to Jesus Christ this year. When I played this little league ball, we didn't have fancy coaches, you know, one for the pitcher and one for the third base and first base and all that jazz. So we had one of the team members trot out there to first base to be the first base coach. Y'all first base coaches. That's what your job is, first base coach. Let's bow our heads for a moment in dedication. Father in heaven, here we stand, giving our lives to you today. Father, we know fastballs are coming. Confusion might happen. We might misread the play, or we might run at the wrong time, or something might happen and we might crash into one another. But Father, we know what this is about. This is not about the distractions. This is not about the things that go wrong. This is about you. This is about serving the Lord with gladness. And Father, each one of us here today, stand ready to serve you. We make that commitment just now anew, that this year we will serve you with gladness. We thank you for this opportunity, Father. You might have had angels do this work, but you've called us fallible, mistake-prone, easily distracted humans. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you and rejoice because you're winning the game of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 100. Yeah, I told them. Thanks. Psalm 100. Can you imagine what happens when a group of 12-year-olds win the championship? Can you imagine how crazy they go? It was like half an hour before you can find your hat because you throw it up. And then you want to throw up another one, so you just look around on the ground, you grab one, you throw it up too. You get so excited, you're screaming, you're yelling. Can you imagine a group of 12-year-olds winning the championship game and sitting there going, it's really good? They'd go nuts. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Woo. Make a joyful shout. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we don't win the game. God wins the game. We get to participate because we stay with him. It's beautiful. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We're his team members. We're his teammates. Teammates with God. Sweet. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's how we come to the game. That's how we do it. Yes, it's trouble. There's difficulties. Skin knees sliding into second. Oh, yeah. But praise the Lord. Thank him. He brought us into second safe. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Do we serve a good God? Oh, brothers and sisters, how can we not be excited about this game that's winding down as we see the final outs taking place around us? How can we not go, woohoo! God's winning! This game's almost over! We're going home. We get Dairy Queen along the way. Sweet! God's got good things. David said in 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. What a God we serve. What a beautiful blessing. And today, you and I get this awesome opportunity to commune with him. What a privilege is ours to commune with the King of Heaven. It's better than a signed baseball, isn't it? And yet people do all kinds of things to grab for that baseball. Fall out of the stands to grab a baseball. Ha! Are you kidding me? I get to commune with the King of the universe. What a privilege is ours today.